Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the programme four talented, excited, brilliant, clever, amusing, witty players who are going to show off their skill and dexterity with words, and those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and seated on my left, Alan Cochrane and Tony Hawks. Please welcome all four of them. As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp. She's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Salford Quays, from the Lowry Centre here, a wonderful building commemorating that great artist. And we have some lovely Salford and Manchester people in the audience. And we'll start the show with Paul Merton. Paul! Oh, very intimate, the first one. My first kiss. Oh, Paul, tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Is that you, Margaret, in the audience making that noise? Because it's Margaret who's my first kiss. No, I lie, actually. I think my first kiss would have been against the mirror, like all pre-adolescent boys. You look at your reflection in the mirrored surface and you think to yourself, oh, you're gorgeous. I am going to kiss myself. Of course, tongues are a complete waste of time because you end up just clearing the whole bathroom cabinet full of any grime. It looks absolutely beautiful and gorgeous, but it's not really romantic.
Kit, you've challenged.
We've had gorgeous twice, haven't we?
You're
And I wouldn't disagree, but heavens above.
It's all right, all right. Is and right okay? At the beginning, we had mirror twice. Anyway, correct challenge. And there are 34 seconds still available. You take over the subject, Kit, having got a point for a correct challenge, and you start now.
My first kiss was their album Lick It Up, which came out in the late 70s. They were the most marvellous American rock band. They used to vomit blood on stage, which turned out to be a mixture of cochineal and yoghurt. So when it came to my first kiss, she was a little bit surprised when I vomited all over her. She was called Tina. She had lovely golden hair and a long tongue for a retriever dog. And
It was
quite
a scene,
really. Right. I'm sorry.
Tony, you challenged.
I think he hesitated, as he probably did before the kiss. Was there a hesitation?
No, there was a hesitation, yes. So you got in with a correct challenge, a point to you, Tony, and there are 6 seconds still available. Tell me something about my first kiss starting now.
My first kiss was in Manchester because I went to university here. Yay! It took me a long time to get my act together, but...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tony Hawks. And you won't be surprised to know that he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Alan Cochrane, we'd like you to begin the second round. Matchsticks. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Matchsticks have a connection to L.S. Lowry, a local artist and hero, I believe. But also, matchsticks can be an excellent gift for an unloved stepchild. And matchsticks can assist you on a long drive from falling asleep. Simply open your eyes as wide as you can and then use the matchsticks to set fire to your feet and you're unlikely to nod off at the wheel. Matchsticks can also be used to make erections. Whilst in prison, you can make a leaning tower of pizza or an Eiffel. And I think some of this audience have a particularly low opinion of where I'm going with the matchsticks round. Matchsticks are an
excellent... They enjoy that, Alan, and you haven't played the game as much as the others, but you did go for 40 seconds. Great. Paul was the first to challenge. What was it, Paul?
It was hesitation.
It definitely, yes. And you've got 20 seconds left, of course. Tell us something about matchsticks in this game, starting now.
Matchsticks, they say on every box, keep away from children, but I think that's a radical approach to education. Matchbox!
kept you challenged.
Well, I don't, he hesitated for dramatic effect, but it was a hesitation.
Yeah. I think we interpret that as hesitation.
Absolutely.
So, Kit, you've got the subject. You want 12 seconds, and it's matchsticks starting now.
Ellis Lowry, as you said, painted matchsticks, but no lacrosse or polo sticks, I noticed, in this...
Tony, so we're going to hear from all of you on this subject.
Yes, there was a little hesitation there.
There was, and I agree with you, and you've got 5 seconds. Matchsticks starting now.
Matchsticks you can only use to make fire if you have the box with you, which was something Alan...
Poor Tony.
Well, no, that's clearly not true, because some matches, for example, can be struck on window panes.
Yep. Swan Vestas.
Yeah, Swan Vestas for start. Yes,
very good. Or the soles of your feet.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Technically speaking, Paul, you're correct.
Yes, that's why I challenged.
I had 6 seconds to go. Why did I say something so controversial? I was a fool to myself.
So, 1 second, Paul. Matchsticks, starting now.
Matchsticks!
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, is now equal with Tony Hawkes, and then comes Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Alan Cochrane, and Kit, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is sushi. Will you tell us something about sushi in just a minute, starting now?
Sushi is a Japanese food that is extraordinarily expensive, perhaps because it's so labour-intensive. It's like a maternity ward. It involves a lot of seaweed and tastes as though the sea did exactly that all over your lunch. The main thing to do is to cover it up with condiments. They use pickled ginger, which is nothing to do with Chris Evans and the Forgotten Years, and wasabi, which is a horseradish so virulent and violent that it's used in smoke alarms for the hard of hearing to wake you up at night. You get a lot of sticky rice. It has to be the right sort. Basmati won't do, and you get this gloop. And, oh, sir, I'm interrupting. I said get twice. Can I interrupt myself?
Well, Kit, you've actually challenged, so I have to ask you, what was your challenge?
I repeated get. I'm so sorry. Repetition of get.
You're perfectly correct. You did repeat get. So I suppose the only thing I can do is give you a point for and congratulate you on your quick hearing
you.
And listening.
Thank
and
you
so
very
forth.
Much,
and
Nicholas. And the rest of
you,
the panel.
You may be making
coma.
A rod for your back here.
Yeah. No. 19 seconds, you've got in. Oh, gosh, you are clever,
yes.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
And you've still got the same subject. Sushi, starting now.
Sushi bars are very trendy with Russian assassins and yuppie posers, though sadly not often at the same time. I'm sure there is lots in the new regenerated Salford, which is quite the most exciting place I've visited for a very long time. It's all shiny and very sushi out there, and with a whiff of the ocean about it coming in...
So, Kit Hesketh-Harvey started with the subject, and he went for nearly 40 seconds and interrupted himself, got a point for that, and then he kept going to the end and gets bonus point for speaking as the whistle went.
What a neat trick.
So, you're now in the lead, just one ahead of Tony and Paul.
Am I right in thinking, Nicholas, it's impossible to... That's the maximum score you can ever get in a round, because he's... You know, normally you start, and then you speak, and then you get a bonus at the end.
Mm.
But he picked up an extra bonus by challenging himself.
No, he didn't.
Have we made just
now, that wasn't a bonus. That was a legitimate 1 point.
OK.
A very shady way of doing it, and we're not going to encourage it.
OK.
And please don't take it to heart, Tony. right. Tony, we'd like you to begin the next round. 5 ways to get a good night's sleep. That, of course, some merriment. But can you give us more merriment within the 60 seconds starting now?
Whenever people ask me if I slept well, I like to say, no, I made a few mistakes. And that is an amusing thing to do, I think you'll find. But there are 5 ways, or possibly more. But I've been asked only to speak about these...
Kit Chance.
Sorry, I nodded off.
All right, what I like to do on those occasions is, because obviously it's got nothing to do with the rules of just a minute, and we'll give you a bonus point.
Oh, thank you, Nicky.
No, we enjoyed the interruption, the audience applauded, but you were interrupted, Tony, so you get a point for that, and you keep the subject. 46 seconds starting now.
You can, of course, go out and...
Wait a minute, Alan Challenge.
Sorry, I nodded off.
You're working on the assumption that I give bonus points is for people to say they're nodded off, right? But I must be fair to Alan, because Kit got a round of applause. I gave him a bonus point. So, Alan, I've got to give you a bonus point as well, haven't I?
Right. That was what I was hoping would happen.
Yes, I could tell that was on your mind.
I'm suffering a bit of a crisis of confidence.
I wouldn't worry, Tony, because every time you're interrupted, you get a point.
Right.
There's another point to you.
I've got a career after this.
And 45 seconds are still available. Five ways to get a good night's sleep.
Go to a bar and then order 5 pints of the finest northwestern beer that you can get. I forget the name. Tetley's was probably one, but I mustn't advertise, so all the others are just as good. Drink them all and then go...
Alan Challenge.
Deviation. I think Tetley's is technically from Yorkshire.
I think you're technically correct.
Excellent.
So, Alan, you've got in with 35 seconds to go, and the subject is 5 ways to get a good night's sleep, starting now.
Of the 5 ways to get a good night's sleep, only 4 are broadcastable, so I will concentrate on those. The first that I enjoy is to actually stick my head between 2 pillows. Many people find this strange and would think it increases claustrophobia, but I find 2 massive cushioning devices...
Paul, you challenge.
Hesitation, sadly.
Yeah, it was just a hesitation. And you've got him with 16 seconds to go, starting now.
Well, the experts are very clear on the 5 ways of getting a good night's sleep. First of all, one must have a hot, milky drink, followed by a warm bath in some kind of liquid, preferably water, and then you must realise your dreams.
So Paul Martin was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And if you're interested in the points, it's very equal now. Tony, Kit and Paul are equal in the lead and Alan's in second place. Right, Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is the magic of radio. And, of course, this is a radio festival up here in Salford, here at Salford Quays. And we'd like you to talk on it, Paul. And there are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The magic of radio, as somebody said a long time ago, the scenery is better on radio and certainly is an instrument of the imagination. If we are listening to an afternoon play, 3 o'clock, we can be taken to the middle of the Nairobi desert or instead dancing amidst the water.
Oh, Tony Challenge.
There is no desert in Nairobi.
The Nairobi desert? Is there not? Are
you thinking of the Gobi Desert?
Yes, so was I. But that's the magic of radio. It doesn't matter where you are.
So, Tony, there are 45 seconds available. The magic of radio starting now.
For me, the magic of radio is the fact that you can just pitch up 10 minutes before if you want. No rehearsals, costumes unnecessary, makeup. I laugh in the very face of it. And here we are doing just that. Some of us got here a little bit earlier, the keen ones, but I have to say, got the train with Paul.
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of got.
Yes.
There was too much got.
There are a lot of gots.
Yes,
it wasn't
got
stylish.
Here, got the train, you got the thing, and you got challenged. 24 seconds, Paul, are available. The magic of radio starting now.
If you listen to a current radio production such as Ed Reardon, you can only marvel at the producer's wit and ingenuity in conjuring up this oral landscape which you can immensely immerse yourself into. There are other...
Kit Challenger.
Immensely immerse yourself.
Yeah, immensely immerse yourself.
Oh, I thought you said immensely. You said immensely.
Immensely.
Do you mince when you listen to
it? No. Very rare. No.
He didn't say it. He said you immensely immerse yourself.
Was it? Oh, right.
It was a lot
what
of
does that mean?
You immerse means... yourself in an immense way.
Deviation. I stand by my gun.
No.
Okay.
An incorrect challenge. Paul, 11 seconds still with you on the magic of radio, starting now.
One of Nicholas Parsons' first radio appearances was in a wonderful show called Much Binding in the Marsh. And if you listen to the archive...
Oh, Kit, you challenged.
Repetition of listen, I'm sorry.
I know, but I wanted to hear what he had to say. Anyway, Kit, you cleverly got in with only 2 seconds to go. Yes, that wasn't popular with the audience. But it's true within the rules of just a minute. 2 seconds, starting now.
Magic doesn't really work on
Paul challenged.
Oh, it was hesitation.
No, don't be rude. 1 second ago, the magic of radio, Kit, starting now.
When I've had my horse.
No, Tony didn't work.
I've nodded off.
Paul had a bonus point on that. Tony's got a bonus point on that remark. Right, and there's 1/2 a second to go. The magic of radio, Kit, starting now.
Magic of radio!
at the end of that round, Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh-Arvia are still equal in the lead, 1 point ahead of Tony Hawks and two or three ahead of Alan Cochrane. And, Alan, we'd like you to begin the next round. Why Dad Knows Best? Not no best, it's George Best. I'll say that again. The subject is Why Dad Knows Best, starting now.
There are various reasons why Dad knows best, and there are also fewer excuses for why Dad knows best. But why Dad knows best is because during pregnancy, I'm sorry to say it, but ladies are a host organ and their minds go to mush. My wife found it extremely difficult to remember basic facts, and since then, I have lauded it around the house saying Dad knows best. Actually, in truth, I know very little, and she runs the house like a military operation, continually...
Paul Tanner.
We had repetition of house.
Yes, at the house.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
You ran around the house before.
That's where we live, so... Mm-hmm. It's bound to happen sooner or later.
Paul, you've gone in with the correct challenge. A point to you, 28 seconds available. Why Dad Knows Best, starting now.
Well, I suppose the idea behind this subject, Why Dad Knows Best, is that wisdom is lodged in the older generation. Of course, this can be true, but quite often the opposite is also the case. In Opfine...
Tony Challenge.
I would question his reasoning there. I don't think that is the case. It's a sex thing. It's not about the older generation. It's about why Dad knows.
No, I think to me he conveyed the fact the older generation at that time that was a saying and that was accepted truth. And nowadays
I don't like
we all
the way
know
this is going.
That we all and now we all know that it's often Mum knows best, and is she often in charge of the house? I think she's entitled to.
Just argued my point.
No, I haven't.
That was also my point, but it sounded like misogyny by accident. So just in case the audience has turned on me, I think I expressed my point badly and I'd like to make up.
It could be a reality show, misogyny by accident.
Tony, I think that Paul was making out the fact that it was that period. It wasn't just that it was Dad. So, an incorrect challenge, and Paul, you've still got the subject. 17 seconds. Why Dad Knows Best, starting now.
If you turn towards the father figure in your life, and if he is your dad, that's a good thing, you can say to him, I don't understand so many aspects of the modern world. Tell me what it was like back in the 1940s when people had human values. Oh, yes, there was a...
Tony Challenge.
Well, you can't do that if your dad wasn't born in the 1940s.
Well, I wouldn't attempt it if he hadn't have been.
But you did say if you. So.
Oh, I see, yes.
I'm looking around the audience and I'm confused. I thought you conveyed that if someone said that, it didn't have to be that that person's dad was born then.
No.
I don't like the way this is going.
No. I don't think, Paulie, it was a legitimate challenge. I think the fair thing to do was to give them both a point and carry on.
Okay.
Or give no points at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And leave it with you, Paul, with 1 second to go, Why Dad Knows Best, starting now.
No, he doesn't.
So, Paul Merton with their extra point and others in the round is in the lead now. Just ahead, one or two ahead of Kit Hesketh-Arvia. Two ahead of Tony Hawks and three or four ahead of Alan Cochrane. And Kit, it's your turn, and I think we'd like to take this subject. Conkers. Tell us something about conkers, starting now.
Conkers are the fruit of the horse chestnut tree, the Latin name for which is vincit, as in amor omnia, love conquers all. There is an old wives' tale that says that spiders don't...
Alan Challenge.
I'm not sure that's the Latin translation.
That's a very clever challenge, Alan, because I'm not confident to say no or yes. I did study Latin at school, and my impression is you are correct.
Yeah. It was a new language then, wasn't it? It was a new language, the latest thing, wasn't it?
I'm not going to give you a bonus point for that.
I don't want one.
No, Alan, you've got a correct challenge, and you have 47 seconds. Tell us something about Conkers, starting now.
Conkers was the original draft of Dizzy Rascal's recent hit Bonkers, but then he realised that it probably wouldn't be a commercial success and went for a different song entirely. Conkers was also an original video game that didn't...
Kit Challenge.
Original twice, wasn't that a repetition?
Yeah, original.
Sorry.
Original, say yes. Kit, you've got the subject back. You have 33 seconds still available. Conkers starting now.
There is an old wives' tale that says that spiders don't bite conkers.
Alan Challenge.
Repetition of old wives.
You had the whole wives'
tale.
Did
I manage
before?
To get that in before the...
Yes, before.
Oh, Lord. You gave I'm it sorry, to my mind's giving it today.
So, well listened, Alan. You got another
well done,
point.
Alan.
You've got 30 seconds. Tell us a bit more, Alan, about conkers, starting now.
When conkers fall from the trees and your car is parked under them, they can be extremely frightening as you walk away from the vehicle in question, and they can land on the floor...
Turn your challenge.
No, they can't. There's nothing frightening about a conker landing on a car.
You don't know, you might be a conkerphobic. An irrational fear of conkers.
It could be an open-top car.
Yeah. Exactly. And he might just have come from the hospital having suffered a major head injury.
I don't like the way this is going.
He doesn't like the way it's going.
I think all that's been said justifies the fact that I don't give it against you, Alan. I mean, you could have a phobia about conkers.
Yeah.
I think it's very uncomfortable to suddenly have a conker shard on your head.
Absolutely.
You don't know what's happened, do you?
No.
No. So, incorrect challenge, Alan. Another point to you. You're catching up on the others. I'll say that on the microphone. You're catching up on the others. Right then. 20 seconds ago, starting now.
Yesterday, as I was walking away from my open-top vehicle...
Oh, Tony Challenge.
He did say vehicle last time, really.
That's right, yes. Oh, right. So, yeah. Tony, you've got in with clever listening. 17 seconds, conkers starting now.
When I was a young boy, I used to collect conkers, strap a...
Alan Challenge.
Sorry, it's just I'm scared of conkers and him mentioning it.
Alan, yes?
Very insensitive, I think.
Yeah. I've ruined the rather
No, you've got a good laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
So what we do, Alan, has got nothing to do with the rules of Just a Minute. We give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption.
Yeah.
But Tony was...
Is it wise to perhaps cover his ears for the rest of this round? I don't want to do an injury to him or anything.
No, because I think he was only playing for a laugh and not a serious thought.
Fine.
But you got a point because you were interrupted, Tony, so there's no complaints. 14 seconds, conkers, starting now.
Skewer them, then pass a little bit of string through the middle and then start whacking 10 tons of power out of the next conker that another child is holding and then wonder...
Paul Towns.
Sorry, how can you whack 10 tons of power out of a conker?
You can't.
You can't, no. Not 10 tons of power.
No, metaphorically speaking, he was trying to convey that.
Exactly.
No, I think, Paul, benefit of the doubt, and you have 6 seconds on conkers starting now.
I don't want Alan to hear me say the word, or indeed his mother, be listening to the radio if the word conkers comes out.
So, what's the score? Because I've just been told this is the last round.
Oh.
So, as we go into the final round, let me give the situation. Paul was then speaking as a whistle-win, got that extra point. He's just marginally in the lead, ahead of Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Tony Hawkes, who are equal in second place, and they are just 3 points ahead of Alan Cochrane, who's in third place. So that's the situation. Tony, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a rather sweet one, having a duvet day. Tell us something about having a duvet day... In just a minute, starting now.
I usually allow a complete day for putting a duvet cover on. It is the most extraordinarily difficult thing. I begin by...
Alan Charles.
It's not that difficult. There's a really good trick. If you turn it inside out and then just whip it like that, it really gets it straight on. So.
Alan, trying to be fair within the rules, I mean, that, to you, it's not difficult. But to Tony, it obviously is very difficult.
You're right. My motor skills are a bit more advanced than Tony's.
Well, at least I'm not scared of conkers.
So, Tony, an incorrect challenge, 51 seconds available. Having a duvet day starting now.
I think we should all have a national duvet day where we all go out onto the street...
Paul Challenge.
So, was that duvet?
No,
duvet day.
It did sound a bit like that, but no, we know what he meant, duvet day, okay. Even if it came out duvet day. It's he's going at such a pace,
yeah.
He couldn't help it, right. 47 seconds. Tony, with you still, having a duvet day starting now.
I'm not certain about this, but I can only assume that duvet is perhaps a French word introduced into us by them, and we have used it for some time now for the little cover that goes over... Well, not it. Oh, well...
Kit, you've challenged.
We're so close, me and Paul. He crashed and burned.
Yes, I should explain to our listeners, Kit and Paul are sitting close beside each other, and on that
sharing
side...
Sharing a duvet, actually.
And sharing a duvet. And actually, the light came on in front of me, which said it was Kit who got in there factionally ahead of Paul in the challenge, and he's got 33 seconds to tell us something about having a duvet day starting now.
My sympathies are entirely with Tony Hawk's in this matter. It takes me hours. I struggle, and people look through the window and think that the Ku Klux Klan has moved to
Paul son.
Have they changed the name? Is it like Kentucky Fried Chicken? They've changed the name.
Did I get that wrong?
Stevie, Ku Klux Klan.
What did I say? Klan?
Klan.
Klan, I'm very posh.
Yes.
Paul, you've got him with the correct challenge. 23 seconds. Tell us something about having a duvet day starting now.
Well, I openly admit I don't know what having a duvet do boodiji. I can't even say it. Never know what it means. What does it mean?
I don't know. Kit will tell us.
I will, yes. Do I get the subject?
You've got to say. Got 19 seconds. Yeah. A correct challenge. Having a duvet day, Kit, starting now.
It's an American term,
is
Paul.
It
came over meaning when you call in with a sickie two or three times a year, and it's perfectly legitimate. You're allowed to tell your employer I got absolutely bladdered last night, and I simply can't face coming into work, or you've got a bit of a headache, or somebody rather nice in bed with you, and you don't wish to stir. But it is not against the rules of
industry.
So, yes, it means when you are faking it and not getting into work, so you're staying at home and having a duvet day. Right. Let me give you the final score. Alan Cochrane, who hasn't played quite as much as the others, came back and excelled fantastically, but finished in fourth place. But that doesn't matter. It's a contribution that's so important. He was a few points behind Tony Hawk's. And he was 1 point behind Kit Hesketh-Harvey. And Kit was 2 points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. Thank you, thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to the four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Tony Hawks and Alan Cochrane. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle most delicately after the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in Salford Quays at the Lowry Theatre, who've cheered us on our way. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.